CTV.
Remember the good old days? I made a few shows with my back against the wall. And here I am again, my back against the wall of the cottage. Several of you mentioned that you loved that kind of setting. A few people think I'm just a little too slick in my studio, but there's always something goes wrong. There's always some flaw. Don't worry. It'll never be perfect. I'm here today with my back to the wall. The cottage, as the day comes to a close, I got a piece of plywood over here, piece of plywood over there. The garbage can's right there. Before, I was between, this was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I was between, probably 7 years ago now, I was between a garbage can and a ladder. I don't know what happened to the ladder. I apologize that there is no ladder here. And for those of you who don't realize it, I did a 151 video series called Return to Zender. And those are available on my playlist. Go to my YouTube channel. I think it's YouTube at Zendermeister. And go to the playlist and you'll see Return to Zender. Well, I felt like talking to you today about why that airplane is flying overhead right when I start my video. But I've changed my mind. I'm not going to talk about that. What I am going to talk about is storing up for yourself treasures in heaven. But I want to thank you, first of all, for all the comments today on the show. I do want to read to you a beautiful comment. I want to read to you a spectrum of comments, the best and the worst. The best is from someone named Ronnie, and the worst is from someone named Don. And both of these are valuable, and I'm going to tell you why. But this will be a great encouragement to you. For those of you who have not read the comments on today's video, check this out. Gentleman's name is Ronnie. I think it's a gentleman. I just found your books because I was so depressed and angry at God about my family being tortured forever because they don't believe, as well as doubting my own salvation due to my own habitual sin and lack of perfection. I know God is real due to my own studies and things that God did in my life that were supernatural, but there was still fear, anger, and depression. I am absolutely inhaling your books and commentaries on Romans, and I feel like I can breathe again. The Bible makes so much more sense now, and God's love and righteousness as well. I thought Arminian popular Christianity is the true way, but it killed me. Like a cake with all the right ingredients, except a little bit of added rat poison, spoiling the whole thing. Yeah, that will do it. Eternal horrors in hell that were whisked away with a shoulder shrug. Well, they chose not to believe, and God doesn't want robots, so it's their fault. Unquote. That's the way Ronnie used to think. I have yet to study more, but what I've learned so far makes so much sense, and it is enlightening. It's amazing how God operates. What a blessing to be chosen to have faith. And what a relief that those that aren't are saved too, just in a different order. What a beautiful testimony. And I know everyone here rejoices in that. So, Ronnie, I'm glad you found this material. I'm glad you found this channel. You are in a group of believers who operate under the banner of God's love, because when you know God's love, and when you know that God's love is going to eventually save even Satan, then it's easier for you to act in love. But on the other hand, those Christians who believe that God is going to eternally torment most of his creation, they tend to be rather unpleasant at times because, well, why should you be any better than your deity? I'm going to go ahead and read my response to Ronnie here. Dear Ronnie, this post just makes my day. What a story you have shared with us. Being depressed and angry, rightly, with the Christian God seeking answers, and then the true God showing you truth. I love it, and I'm thankful that God has used my writings in your spiritual quest. I'm so happy to hear that you are going through the Romans series in my ZWTF newsletters. You will be glad to know that Volume 1 is now being prepared in book form, chapters 1 through 4. Your analogy of a delicious cake, except for rat poison, is perfect. The Christian religion presents itself as palatable, but the virus, that is the rat poison of eternal torment and free will, quite ruin the dish and kills everyone imbibing of it. Thank you again for taking the time to write. Have you read The First Idiot in Heaven? That's a pretty good overview of Paul's gospel. Grace and peace. Please post anytime. Ronnie responds, hey, I have read Zender Goes to Hell and the book on free will, and I'm now reading the book on prayer. I'll check out The First Idiot in Heaven next. The book How to Quit Church Without Quitting God also sounds like something I have to read, and a lot more Romans since you've uploaded quite a bit on it. There's a lot of ground to cover. I'm also looking at getting a concordant New Testament to study the original wording. You won't be sorry about that. It's funny how we can read something like Colossians 1, 19 through 20, quote, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross, and then just go on thinking that the fallen angels and unbelievers will be tortured forever. Doesn't sound like reconciliation and making peace to me. Sounds more like a passive-aggressive, well, I told you so. Boy, isn't that right? And to think that we read that passage for years, as well as 1 Timothy 4:10, and just didn't see the import of it. But, you know, when God closes your eyes, he closes your eyes. Now I remember why I didn't come back here very much, the mosquitoes. This is an interesting observation here, he writes at the end. I'm amazed that you have only 5,000 subs, that is, subscribers. I'm glad I have found your work, though. Please continue. That's the best two-word pep talk I've ever received. Please continue. Very succinct, right down to the point. Yeah, I responded and just, I shared with him a Bible study I was at 20 years ago. It was at my home. And there was this new guy that came into the Bible study. And those of us that were there, we were kind of catering it to the new guy without saying it. And we were going through all the verses of the salvation of all. And we were all kind of looking at him sideways. And he's like nodding. We're thinking, oh my gosh, he's getting it. This is awesome. I mean, all the obvious verses, including this one that Ronnie shared, Colossians 1, 16 through 20. And this guy's over there going, yeah. And this went on for at least 30 minutes. And then at the end of 30 minutes, there was a period of silence. And then this gentleman suddenly looked up, kind of startled, and he said, wait a minute, are you guys saying that everyone's saved? There it is, right there. You hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you go, oh yeah, yeah, and you nod to all these verses. God is the Savior of all humanity, reconciling all things, whether those in the heavens, those on the earth. To him every knee will bow, and every tongue acclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 11:36, out of him, through him, and for him is all. And you hear these things your whole life, and yet the filter of institutional religion, the blinders of institutional religion just filter out the meaning of these things. It was so fascinating to see that in the span of a half hour. And he was shocked. Yes, that's what we're saying. The good news is that this man eventually accepted it, came to the truth, but he had to break through that wall of institutional training. And I believe he actually was institutionally trained. He was a pastor. Well, that's the good stuff right there. And Ronnie says he is going to get the first idiot in heaven, so that's good. Then we have Don. Don Kropodowski. This is what he says. Sound teaching? LOL. Well, at least he didn't say meh, M-E-H. That's such an insulting word, meh. It's a new word in the culture. It's really dismissive. It's a worse I much rather have a sarcastic LOL than a meh. So thank you, Don. You know, I used to think Martin needed to get a real job. I realize now he's selling exactly what those who follow him want. I'm gonna try not to comment. Yeah, you know, the guy who sells pop, chips, cookies, candy, cigarettes. He's making a living selling what the people want. And they pay to get it. No nutritional value, and it will end in death. But that's what the people want. He's also basically getting paid to take what someone else has said and written down and read it to you. Like reading a Dr. Seuss book to an audience and getting paid for it. Absolutely amazing, thinking you can get it yourself for free. Have you gotten it yourself for free, Don? Well, to those who are sick of buying a bag of air, you can seek the Son of God himself and allow the Spirit to teach you himself. How has that worked out for you, and what Spirit exactly is teaching you? Don, you won't find Jesus here. You won't. Just calling him out as he does others. I must. Well, you did. You called me out. Congratulations. But I'm not going to defend myself here, because everyone I'm reading this to can get it, can see it, understand that I'm not selling anything, and that I'm a teacher, and I help people understand the scriptures, period. And Don, you could use a teacher who teaches with sound words. The Apostle Paul was a teacher. He was given the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he taught them. He commented on them. And he passed that truth on to other teachers. Paul told Timothy to stand by the word opportunely and inopportunely. And he told Timothy in another place to pass it on to other men who are competent to teach also. Apparently, Don doesn't need teachers. He can go to the Spirit of God himself. Doesn't need any help. Well, Don, you need lots of help. Maybe you should humble yourself and seek the true Spirit of God. But I leave these comments in. I'm going to get to my topic at hand. I leave these comments in because it's helpful for us to read this. It's helpful for us to see where we've been. And it makes us more appreciative of how far God has brought us. I sponsored a conference in Willard, Ohio for many years. And I remember one Saturday evening, there was, I think it was maybe Tony Nungesser's car. There was a bumper sticker on the back. I think it said 1 Timothy 4:10 or something having to do with the salvation of all. Must have been a... No, it was George Oppik. George Oppik of Ontario, Canada. He had a homemade bumper sticker, like the salvation of all. He had all these verses on the back of his car, all homemade stuff. It looked really crazy and ridiculous, but good for George. Anyway, this Christian guy happened to be driving by, saw this bumper sticker, felt the compulsion of the Holy Spirit upon him. And he said, who's in charge of this conference? Somebody brought him to me, and he said, I want to give a word to you people. Sounds like Don. I want to give a word to you from the Spirit of God. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes at the podium. I already knew what he was going to do. He was going to tell us how wrong we were, how doomed we all were, how Jesus was not in this group, and that the verses he saw on the back of George Oppik's car were totally misconstrued. God is certainly not the Savior of all. Don doesn't believe that. And he was going to set us straight. And I was anxious to give him the podium, because it is helpful for us to see just how far and how fast God has taken us spiritually. And this guy got up, and just with this arrogance, like he was going to set us straight. Talked about the rich man and Lazarus, of course, misinterpreted everything, mistranslated hell, and just the whole thing. Stuff that we learned years ago. And everybody just sat there patiently. It's like, huh, yeah, yeah, there it is. We were all like that once. And when that guy left, marched off the podium thinking he had, at least he did his duty for God and Christ. He did his duty, straighten these poor people out. But all of us felt a deep appreciation for where God has taken us. You know, my dad used to fly private aircraft, and I remember one time, he flew a Beechcraft Bonanza, and I remember, I guess the cruising speed of a Beechcraft Bonanza maybe around 160 miles an hour, but you don't feel your speed because, well, even when you're on a commercial airliner, you're going over 500 miles an hour, but you don't feel your speed because it's not relative. The ground's so far down that you can't get a feel for your speed. Well, one time we were flying and my dad flew right over a cloud bank. Right over, like a foot over this cloud bank. And when you're that close to something stationary, then you feel your speed. It's like, but only in relation to something that's not moving. So when you see something that's not moving, speaking of dawn here, you really feel your speed. You really feel how fast God is moving you in the revelation and the realization of Him. That's why these things are valuable. That's why I'll always let Don have his say, unless he gets really gross. But, you know, just your common insults. I can handle it. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Have any of you been financially humiliated lately? I have been just lately. I don't want to go into the situation, but, you know, sometimes you think you're surrounded in this world by people who have stuff and people who are lots of people better off than we are, for sure. And there's always, God always has creative ways of taking your money from you. Just when you get ahead a little bit, something happens. And like I said, my saying over the years has been that God knows how much money you need. That we always hear that. God knows how much money you need. Well, I developed a new saying based on that one, and it's God knows how much money you don't need, and He has many creative ways of taking it from you. See, He controls the interplay of riches and poverty. He controls the money flow. Think of this. God has, we think the Federal Reserve is in charge of the money, or the big banks are in charge of the money. No, God is in charge of the money. He can distribute that wealth any way He wants. And if He wanted us each to become millionaires overnight, we would. It would be so easy. A flick of His finger could send millions of dollars floating down into our hands. But the same God who could let that happen, who could cause that to happen, studiously keeps it from happening. And He's doing it for us, not to us, because a lot of money would ruin us. We think, no, it wouldn't ruin me. Try me. Just try me. Well, yeah, no, no. God knows exactly what you don't need, and He's wisely keeping it from you. But every now and then, something really happens where you're financially humiliated. And this is what I want you to do. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read a passage for you. Matthew 6:19, do not hoard. Boy, I look, oh, this is terrible. The lighting, I look spooky. Hey, Don.
No one's kidding Jesus here. In fact, this is the message of Satan. Why are you even here, Don? Evil is being spoken to you. Go away, lest you be infected by our glory.
I don't know where to put this, or it's not so, okay, a little better there. Verse 20, Matthew 6, hoard for yourselves, let me start with verse 19. Do not hoard for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and corrosion are causing them to disappear and where thieves are tunneling and stealing. Yet hoard for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor corrosion are causing them to disappear and where thieves are not tunneling or stealing. Verse 21, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we are among the wealthiest people on earth. The least member of the body of Christ is richer than Elon Musk or all the princes of Saudi Arabia. We have wealth stored up for us in the heavens beyond anyone on earth's wildest imagination, even beyond our wildest imaginations. And when I was humiliated in the ways of the earth's riches, it's easy to put your head down and think, oh boy, I'm nothing. I don't count in this world. I don't have any of the assets that the world looks to in order to mark a person as a rich person. There goes a rich man, somebody says. Oh, there goes a rich man. What's the first thing people of the world think of? His income, his job, his bank account, what his house looks like, what kind of car he drives, what kind of watch he wears, how well-dressed his wife is, where he shops. Everybody thinks that. When someone says, there goes a rich man, or there goes a wealthy man, they're all looking at the surface, but not our Lord. This is our Lord and Savior. He's the one who, when the disciples saw the widow coming into the treasury and putting in the mite, smallest coin in Israel, and they probably rolled their eyes and went, tuh, tuh. Jesus said, this woman put more in than all the rich people in Jerusalem, because they gave out of their superfluity. This woman gave out of her wants. That's just one example of how God and Christ measure wealth. But here's another way they measure wealth. What you have stored up for you in heaven. You're the richest people on earth. But as Colossians 3 says, your life is now hid with Christ in God, that when Christ our life is manifested, thus you also shall be manifested with him in glory. And when we are manifested with him in glory, the treasures that we have stored up, that God has stored up for us because of things we've done, because of the suffering we have endured, and you've suffered in ways you probably don't even count, and you've heralded the word in ways you probably don't even remember. But it's all been adding up. And when we see the glory, I'm not talking about physical currency now. I don't think there's physical currency in the celestial realm. I could be wrong. Maybe there is. We don't know much about it. But I do know that Paul speaks a lot about glory, about true spiritual wealth. And it is about power. Oh, don't be mistaken, friends. It is about power. When we think of power today, once again, there goes a powerful man. Oh, wow, he must. How many employees does he have? What company does he run? Is he the CEO? What's his portfolio look like? Powerful. Powerful people. There's a powerful man. Does anyone look at you and say, there goes a powerful woman? There goes a powerful man. There goes a wealthy, powerful woman. A wealthy, powerful man. I really doubt it. Never happens to me. But we have wisdom and we have revelation. And we have suffering. Oh, we have lots of that. We're wealthy in the suffering department. We're wealthy in the humiliation department. We're wealthy in the people looking down their noses at us department. And that's all good, because these things, and things that you don't even count, things that you haven't even realized are happening, are recognized by God, and they're stored up for you. And God doesn't dole it out gradually. No, he doesn't. No. I kind of wish sometimes he did. If I have some vast spiritual wealth waiting for me, Lord, how about dabbling it out? How about a monthly payment plan? That's not how it works. It's a lump sum. It's a lump sum. And if the world knew how to measure wealth, and if they knew how transient earthly wealth and earthly power is, Jesus said it himself, so many things can destroy people's wealth, and it happens in a day. the stock market crash here in the United States in 1929. People were wealthy men who were wealthy one minute and poor the next, impoverished the next, were jumping from 15-story buildings because their hopes and their dreams and their expectations were all wrapped up in earthly wealth. Jesus said it can be stolen in a second, it can be destroyed in a moment. But what we have in the celestial realm is imperishable. Stronger than any bank. Stronger than any safe you could buy. People are buying safes, big, heavy, giant safes. You have to deliver it in a truck because they're so heavy, and they put their valuables in there, their jewels, their stocks, their bonds, cash. Against the day of want. Well, there is some wisdom in having a little bit, but not really. Actually, there's no wisdom in that because we saw in the Old Testament how God provided food for the day. And on only one day, the day before the Sabbath, was Israel to take up a double portion to cover them for the Sabbath when there was no work to be done. And if anybody took any extra, you remember what happened? The food went rotten. If you plan on storing up in your barn, in your treasury, it's going to be rotten. It's going to stink. And it's going to make you stink. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof? Yes. And sufficient unto the day is the provision thereof that God gives us. It's maddening sometimes because it forces you into a walk of faith. But I mean, we are storing up great wealth that we're going to receive in a lump sum. I look forward to that day with you.
This has been Martin Sender, stealing your money, telling you only what you want to hear. Seller of popcorn, candy, pretzels, pizza, beer, sweet tarts, and all manner of air. Come near if you dare.